Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for gathering us together today to dig into what your word says and to hear what your spirit is saying to us. Now, God, I just pray that you just bless my mind, Lord God. Give me peace of mind as I release this word to the four corners of the earth, Lord God. But also, we just pray for our collective health in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We know that you are the balm in Gilead, that you will heal us. You will restore us to good health. So, God, I just pray you continue to heal and restore us to health as we go and move forward in this season. And, God, we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, this will probably be the first time you have ever heard onomatopoeia as a sermon title, but here we go. The title of today's sermon is Bad. Bah. Bah. write it in your notes. The title of today's message is probably the first time ever in the history of Christendom that a message has been a sound effect. But the message today is bah. So we're going to start at a familiar place. Go to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. This ain't going to be long. Have y'all been enjoying this series so far? Mm-hmm. Psalms 23. And it says this: the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. So, the reason why we're talking about bah, I think that's the sermon title I'll probably never live down. And I've had some doozies over the years. So we're looking at the concept of what does it mean to be sheep. You always hear about, you know, the concept of, you know, we're the sheep and he's the shepherd. Everybody talks about what the shepherd does, but nobody talks about the sheep. But before we understand what sheep do, we do have to have a brief review of what the shepherd does. The job of a shepherd is simple. A shepherd provides for the needs of their flock. How did he do that? Psalms 23 is the perfect example of the breakdown of what a shepherd does. The shepherd feeds the sheep. The shepherd ensures the safety of the sheep, be it from predators or from sheep being sheep. And the part like you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows, it's like when you're removing all the impurities and giving no place for that. So it protects the health and the safety of the sheep, meets its needs. That is literally the definition of God. So the difficulty in Christendom right now is that we don't fully understand what it means to be a sheep. First of all, sheep are not dumb. They might look dumb. They are quite intelligent. But they do also need a lot of care. Because at times, sheep get stuck. You got to pull them out. Sometimes they grow the wool so fast they get wool blind. So you literally have to shear them for them to be able to see. Like I was watching, there's this lady I follow on Instagram and YouTube. Like all she does is like sheep sharing videos. And I'm thinking like, oh, it's going to be like this little sheep. And no, it's like this massive thing. It's like, I swear it was part cow. But she is like like has the shears, and she's like on, like looks like she's about to choke hold this thing, but she's doing it so that way the sheep is able to have a better quality of life. And the reality of our Christian walk is that we are called to follow God for that same reason, to have a better quality of life. The sheep have nothing to worry about because they know that the shepherd has them covered. And here's the thing about shepherds. If the flock is massive, there wasn't just one shepherd. There are multiple shepherds. I feel like I preached this before. There are multiple shepherds that protect, that make sure the flock was overseen. So that's the role of the shepherd. Now let's talk about sheep. John 10, 11 through 18. John 10, 11 through 18. And it says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this commandment from my Father. I am the good shepherd. The job of the sheep is to, one, stay under the covering of the Father. Stay under the covering of the Father. Psalms 91 says this. Pretty much says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In fact, let's just go there. Psalms 91. And it says this, the one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him who I trust. He himself will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers and will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by the day, the plague that stalks in darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked. Let's keep going. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent, for he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. And it keeps going from there. Staying under the covering of the shepherd means that you're under protection. Sheep are able, so I'll think of it like this. dealing with my students, dealing with my kids, there's a certain bubble. As long as you live in your bubble, we good. As long as you stay in the confines of the bubble of what I set before you, stay in your boundaries, you're good. But the minute you're not, it is my job to bring you back in. Like, you know, it's the concept, people like, the concept of, you know, leaving the 99 to go get the one. Sometimes sheep, get them out of there. You know what? Like, I'm good. I'll just do what I want. He a shepherd, his job look easy. I'm just gonna go out into the woods and fend for myself. And then as soon as they get outside of the shepherd's covering, what's waiting out there for them? Wolves, mountain lions, pretty much every predator imaginable is out there waiting for it. And the shepherd's like, I'm missing one. I'll be right back. And what the shepherd does is literally goes out and grabs the one that ran before the predator can get it. Now let's go back to the concept of the rod and the staff. Remember, I did preach about this. Remember when I talked about the concept of the rod and the staff? The rod is for the predator. The staff is for the sheep, right? Right? The rod is for the predator. The staff is for the sheep. So with the rod is designed to club and beat the predator to defend the sheep, and the staff brings the sheep back in. That's the same way that God does with us. When we step out of his protection, because I always tell people God doesn't run from us, we run from him. When we step out of God's protection, we leave ourselves open and vulnerable. Like we leave ourselves open and vulnerable. Like the scripture says, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. When you step out that bubble, roar. Literally. And like that's the biggest thing that people, that's what a lot of people don't realize, that the grass looks greener on the other side. I mean, you're sick and tired of being around your sheep, brothers and sisters, it's fine, it happens. The grass looks green, it's so much greener, it's so much nicer. You have space, you can do what you want, but that space and doing what you want comes with a price. You've left yourself open and vulnerable. But I'm glad that we have a good shepherd. All right, the next thing that sheep do is sheep are willing to be sheared. They stand under protection of the shepherd, and sheep are willing to be sheared. Like I talked about earlier, how the reason why they shear sheep is not just for them to become, not to be wool blind, but also to help them stay at the right temperature. Because wool actually causes the sheep to overheat. And also to be able to eat and do other bodily functions it so needs to do. Because again, wool doesn't stay super fluffy forever. It packs, it mats, it affects how they move. Like it tightens up their skin to the point they're like, they literally don't know how to move and how to function. So that's why shearing is necessary. So here's the thing about the shearing. So here's the thing about the shearing process. It's correction. Yeah. Shearing is correction. It removes the weight. It removes the burden. So that way the sheep can continue doing what it does. Here's the thing, we have a lot of people in the faith don't want to be corrected. And I shared this with one of my students earlier this week. I said, you know the voice of God, because the voice of God brings peace, even in correction. Even in conviction. Conviction is designed to bring you to the cross so that there will be what? Peace. You cannot grow. You cannot develop. You can't even function without sometimes allowing the voice of correction. In our culture, if we say the sky is blue and there's a disagreement, it's a whole problem. In our culture, we can be like, hey, you know, like, you know, hey, you know, you probably could have handled that situation. How dare you tell me how to live my life? You don't know me. I don't know. It's the truth. Like, you know, y'all know what I do for a living. Y'all pretty much have seen me. All y'all see me in action at this point. Sometimes I look at a student and go, okay, hey, dude, you ain't going to all these classes. Well, you know, Bob, I don't care if you don't like the professor. You ain't going to like this debt. I'm going to need you to what? Go to class. Do what you're supposed to do. But some people feel that correction, that correction is also a mechanism of people. Oh, they don't like me. They hate me. They just, correction is me literally looking at you saying, hey, there's a bus coming. You might want to get out the way. I'm not saying that just to say it for my health. I'm saying that because I love you and I value your safety. Sheep need to be willing to be sheared. The next one. Sheep begat sheep. Sheep begat sheep. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Y'all know where this is going. All right. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's literally telling you what? Go get more sheep. Sheep. Sheep begat sheep. So let me put it to you like this. I'm trying to keep this as middle of the road as possible. A lot of people, like especially when dealing with pastors and stuff, they look at the pastor and go, well, pastor, it's your job to grow the church. It's just yes and no. People come because they hear about the word. They might hear about the worship. They might hear about all these things. High five. The same thing with the gospel. Let me put it to you like this. Shepherds are human, right? Sheep are sheep, right? If a shepherd and a sheep decide to have a moment, that's called a monster. That is the best way I could put it. If a shep, that's not going to work. So even though it is a shared responsibility, that's cool, I'm going to say it again. Even though it is a shared responsibility, the full onus on the growth of the church and also the growth of the kingdom is not just on your pastors and your evangelists and your ministers and stuff. It is on what? All of us. Sheep begat sheep. Now, a little bit later, we're going to talk about evangelism. Because I'm asking Jesus to give me the words to say on that. Because y'all know. I know you're good. Because y'all know. Evangelism is not my spiritual. It's not one of my spiritual offices. So. But we're all called to what? Evangelize. So we're going to talk about how to evangelize. How do we beget sheep? The last one is this. I knew that's where it was. Go back to John 10. This is like a stark contrast to last week. Oh, yeah. I'm sitting here, I'm like, man. But I like these teaching weeks. John 10, verse 1, reading from the Christian Standard. Ready? Truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate, is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus, yay growth. Jesus, okay, let's jump back to the verse 5. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Jesus gave him this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. The last point is the sheep know the voice of their shepherd. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd. I'm not talking about me. Just make it clear. Internet. I'm not talking about me. The sheep know the voice of God. And for the sheep to know the voice of God, they have to be trained to know the voice of God. It worries me at times that a lot of people come up to me, I don't know the voice. I've never heard God's voice. I don't know what he sounds like. I don't know. And it's not, and I look at people and say, God is a multimedia God. How are you going to get your attention? He's going to get your attention. For some people, you need Morgan Freeman in your ear. For other people, you might need to see stuff. You might need to see signs pop up in front of you. For other people, you might need a literal person to walk up to you who don't know you, go, literally, I heard the Lord say, or just give you a word of encouragement. But you have to become aware of the voice of God. How do we become aware of the voice of God? Become aware of the voice of God through prayer and his word. Again, how we do it? Prayer and his word. As I said earlier, y'all missed this. I said that when God speaks because it brings peace, even in correction. Like he has a way of, you know, giving you the bonk on the head, but it's from a place of love. It's the same thing. We have to know when he's giving us that bonk on the head. If it doesn't bring peace. And even a call to repentance, because repentance, the end result of repentance is peace. The end result of conviction is peace. The end result of correction is peace, because it's designed to put things back into order and back into perspective. So, reason why I'm going so deep into this, because people will be like, that means God doesn't say anything that will bother us. Oh, it'll bother us. It will make us uncomfortable. But in the end, it's designed to do what? bring peace. So to have relationship with God, to know how to speak of the shepherd, you have to know his voice. We have to get through the static and get through the noise. By the way, online family, sorry the sound might be so staticky this week. Oh. The sound's not working. Don't worry, I'm recording from the soundboard. Woo! If I can hear it. So, you know, here's what we're going to do since it ain't working. Bam. All right. So, so to know his voice, we have to be willing and able. And this is key. To put ourselves in the posture and position to learn it. And how we do that is through prayer. That's next week. We have to understand that, one, there is power in prayer. And two, prayer is pure communication. You do not build a relationship without communication. And communication is not a one-way street. And we've been taught that prayer is a one-way street. You sit here and talk all the time, go amen, then walk away. As you speak, God listens. And for true communication to happen, the other party needs to have an opportunity to speak back, and you listen. Does that make sense? Just can you give me the point? Can you give me the points one more time? Because I don't even be taking good notes. Nope, you got it. You got it. Sheep need to live under the protection of the Father. Sheep need to be willing to be sheared. Sheep beget sheep, and sheep need to know the voice of the Father.